Do you also want to leave? Jesus speaks these very strong words to the apostles today in the gospel. We might ask, what led to this point? What led to this breaking point among the community? That we've been looking these last weeks as we've been going through John chapter 6 at this history of the action of God, the work of creation, of preparation of the Old Testament, of the covenants leading to this covenant of Christ. And this covenant of Christ, this new and everlasting covenant to enter into the life of God that's made concrete and manifest in the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist, where we truly encounter his body and blood. There's a true change that takes place here. And it's this claim that Christ makes, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. This is what leads to this breaking point. This point in which the gospel says today that many no longer followed him and returned to their former way of life. That he turns then to the apostles with this question, do you also want to leave? Will you also leave? That it's a reminder of the way that this life that Christ offers, this covenant, isn't forced upon us. That it then comes to us as an invitation to be responded to. That the crowds, those that left him, they understood well the truth of what he was saying, the sincerity, that he didn't just stop them and say, no, you misunderstood, I was only speaking figuratively. They understood the depth of what he was saying would happen, but that they misunderstood his trustworthiness, that they were scandalized by him and didn't have a need to, that they saw in him something untrustworthy, where that the promises, even the strong words that he said, were trustworthy, were true, were things that would bring life, that would not be sources of destruction or problem. However, unfortunately, we know that if they were mistaken in being scandalized by the actions of Jesus, unfortunately, this in the history of the church, it hasn't always been a mistaken scandal, that we're aware today of ways that scandal, events that happen that truly give scandal, that truly give reason for anger, for a desire for purification and change. They occur, that these things, these evil things have happened, that there's an important ending to this gospel. One section more that wasn't covered in today, but is the next section where the gospel, John chapter 6, continues. And it's Jesus' response to Peter, that Peter gives this response, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. That Jesus responds to that by challenging the apostles, by saying that I have chosen you, but one of you will betray me. Speaking of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, that would betray him. But unfortunately, at times, priests have not followed the witness of Christ, or ministers of the church have not followed the witness of Christ, but the witness of Judas. That St. Paul in the second reading talks about the witness of Christ. He uses this strong language that Christ loved the church as a husband loved her bride, that he desired her to be immaculate, without spot or stain, that this was his desire, that Christ was willing to sacrifice everything, to give of himself completely, to protect, to purify, defend this corporate body we call the body of Christ, this community, the church. Again, that it would be holy without spot or stain. That again, it deeply saddens me. I know I am deeply sorry for the ways that we see this not being echoed in ministers, in those called to serve Christ in that way, to love the church the way that Christ loved the church. But instead, different reasons, turning it to themselves, to their own gain, to abuse and evil. That what we desire then is that purification, that deep healing, that healing for anyone who's been wounded. As we heard in the psalm today, it says, God is close to the brokenhearted. Those who are crushed in spirit, he will save. Praying for their healing, their protection, praying for the purification, reform, change that's needed to root out this corruption, to root out places where this anti-spirit, again, the spirit of Judas has crept in, that it may be purified, that the desire that Christ has may be realized. Again, we look back at this deep desire that he expresses to us in this chapter,
this deep desire to share food that nourishes, food that doesn't just nourish for the day, but that lasts and builds to eternal life. You have a deep communion in living with God in this community that is completely united and molded to God. That this is his desire for the church. This is his desire for each of us as members of the church. That we continue today and renew our commitment. I know myself, you know, the difficulties and problems that we see cause me to reflect on how I can better live that call that I have. You know, how I can be a better disciple, a better apostle of his. And that each of us, I think, you know, has this invitation, not just to express in words what we will do, but to seek that deeper true change, that deeper true invitation or welcoming of the invitation of Christ to be with us. That we can say then with the words that Joshua said in the first reading, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."